Journalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. We've had interesting little interplay here with Governor Cuomo. And he's still at it. Has authorized a lockdown, says, I would have to authorize it. She's talking about lockdowns and things like that for the whole city of New York.
But then sometimes they come with incomplete information as to where is everyone. And the numbers are getting so big now
big numbers.
That they're hard to get all the particulars. But as soon as we get them, we'll give them to you.
Governor, what is the effect of the people the state has in China trying to procure more ventilators?
There is a global, you know how we went through the...
Well, anyway, we've got we've got Mr. Cuomo. This is on Fox News right now. The live thing going on. Albany, New York. Upstate New York. You know, it's very rural. That rural-urban thing going on. We must remain focused on urban versus rural, right? Okay, so anyway, let's check the business cycle. Let's see what's going on in business right now so you see where we're going here with the markets up, down, sideways. The futures market, I'm sorry, I apologize. We had Leonora Cravota on in the first hour. We just quite didn't get the checkout on what's going on. Now what we see right now, the Dow, I think the futures were up, as I recall, just before airtime. So the futures were up, but it's down now. So we're down 367 points. I don't know. It's not showing a graph, so I'm not really able to give you the whole dicey exchange of the graph going on. But it's very, very clear that Dow below 20,000 stocks plunged, threatened Trump. Okay, that's an old story. What I want the new stuff. That's what I want. So I, for whatever reason, so now they're showing some. Let's see the most recent graph. Oh, okay. The Dow was down, right? This is a 20-minute tick delay, I believe. But it's down 132. So at 19,766. But the NASDAQ is up 66. So the and, of course, the S&P is down 14. I think you're going to get to the end of this now. This is the baseline value here. So let's chime in here.
The Dow actually hitting negative 10% lower at one point today. We did close a little bit higher off of that, but still in the red across the board. The Dow down over 6%. The S&P 500 down about 5%. NASDAQ a little bit over 4%. Lower. But if we take a look just at the movement throughout the day for the Dow, we had that circuit breaker enacted. That's when the S&P 500 falls 7%. That caused all markets to be halted. Traders had to pause for about 15 minutes. It happened. The difference with this one is we've had four circuit breakers enacted in less than 2 weeks. This one happened just before 1 p.m. Eastern time versus all the other ones that happened right at the open around 9:30 a.m. So
that's yesterday's news and information. But today, right now, what the market is showing is that it's down 132, and it's not down 1,032. No, it's down 132. So that should be comforting to those of you that with your 401s, right? I'm just saying. I think it's a pretty bold thing to say that. Okay, so crude oil is indicating an upward trend. So we'll see what happens there too. That's one of the great things about where we're at in this country. Hello, we're energy independent as a nation. That is just absolutely spectacular to believe that and understand that. And we want you to understand that. So anyway, we're going to try and get a fresher look at this, that this is not today's information. We want live business. Okay. Gosh darn. This is... published date. This is what is wrong here. Let's go to a real. I apologize. I don't understand why these things are looking like this. Okay, now I got a fresher look. Actually, DC's booster shot. Munchen. White House will send most Americans cash within weeks, and she's out. Tulsi Gabbard suspends her long shot presidential campaign. I like Tulsi Gabbard. I have to say that I am a Tulsi Gabbard fan. And quite frankly, if she was a Democrat, a lot of people be looking at her and say, let's vote for that one. I mean, she's just, you know, first of all, she's a military person. I think she's a major. She served a couple tours in Iraq and so on. She's a combat veteran, been shot at, shot back, that sort of thing. So, yeah, she gets it. Anyway, the Dow Jones right now is down 176. This is what the latest is that we're seeing. And the NASDAQ is up 114, and the S&P is up 0.36. So there's a little bit of a rise going there. So anyway, Tulsi Gabbard is out of the presidential running, of course. And I mean, she's probably thinking, geez. Anyway. But these checks are supposed to be in the mail, as they say. That's going to be a good thing, I think. Absolutely a good thing. You know, as we take a look, God, I can't believe where this day has gone. You know, we started off with Leonora Carvota, and she did a great job with us for the first hour. And then, of course, we talked about the communist faces, the new communist faces of California. Yeah, we've got some of those commie faces. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, I don't think they believe themselves as communists. That's the whole thing. That's how subtle all this is. And I think when you're a person in the legislature or the state government and you're elected, you go, oh, I'm so glad I'm elected. You know, and then you realize, you know, wait a minute, what does it mean to be elected? And, of course, in California, you're very constrained. Anything, it doesn't mean anything. You're just a useful idiot to the system. To the bureaucracy. And of course, bureaucracies, communism and socialism thrive in bureaucracies. That's the way it works. You know, that's the way it works. So anyway, getting back to other things here. I want to jump in on the Fox News thing and see what's going on there. This is the business section. So the market is not in free fall like it was yesterday. Of course, there's not a lot of places to go. Wuhan and Hubei report zero new cases of coronavirus. Okay, this is big. This is like really big that Chinese health officials, well, of course, can you trust them? Answer, no. You cannot trust Chinese health officials. Forget it. Forget about it. One of my Italian friends. Forget about it. Says that the epicenter of the coronavirus in its surrounding province, Wuhan and Hubei, respectively, have not reported any new cases, but recorded 8 more deaths in the same area. Says that the health ministry said 34 new cases in the country over the past 24 hours were detected in people who live abroad. And of the new cases, 21 were in Beijing, 9 in the southern manufacturing powerhouse of Guangdong, and 2 in Shanghai, and 1 each in coastal Zhejiang and Heilongjiang in the far northeast. So are we seeing the bell curve starting to go down on the other side in China? I suspect yes. It seems to be about the right timing for a population and of this sort. And again, I'm going to go back. I'm going back in, dudes. I'm going to go back to our little chart that we have available on Agenda 21 Radio. You have to go all the way down to the bottom, and you can see this for yourselves. But at the bottom, let me get you the right page here. Shocking, I'm on the wrong page. Can't believe the wrong page of my own website. Got to get it together here. But if you check it out, you can see that the coronavirus is all the charts and information. We're going to be right back after this commercial. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops
pops on. If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's a Romp Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, a Romp Solar.
Okay, one of the things I wanted to share with you is every Tuesday, for the most part. It's going to change up a little bit this week, but we have our county chairs meeting, and where we talk about different things for New California. And I'm going to play for you this portion of the county chairs last week. And a gentleman by the name of John Wadsworth gives us his description of what it was like in Romania, in Bulgaria, at the collapse of communism back in 1989, and Nicolae Ceausescu. And we're going to share that with some of this with you right now. I'm going to probably have to speed it up here a little bit, so bear with me as I run through the electronics here, because this is raw audio, hasn't been edited, so this is right off of our recording. We record all these things for posterity as to what it was like to make a new state and all the process, and you know, a lot of debate going on about how to make a new state, which is healthy. But this is how we started.
Anyway,
this is me.
I want to announce that you know, again, this is phase three of what we're doing for New California, and we are becoming the 51st state. This is our process. This is, you know, what we do to get there. It's been unlike any other movement since 1861 that would.
Now, I'm explaining basically overview of what we're doing and how we're getting there. Okay, to a bunch of people, it was about 64 actually on the call, which is a, you know, covers all the counties that we have plus more.
Closely resemble this, and of course the times are very, very challenging, as they were in 1861. So let's focus on the fact that, you know, God has us here for a reason. There's no question about it, and I think that now that we have that out of the way, let's get down to what we're going to do about it. Okay, John mentioned about the communication system and what we're doing. And I want to be very, very clear that we want to have as much maximum communication as we possibly can. But unfortunately, we have to be a little bit secretive about what we're doing in terms of communication with people.
Shocking.
Security for communications for everybody has been our top priority. And sometimes you might not think it's that way, but it has been absolutely over the top that way for us.
Yeah. So just to explain to you a little bit of background there, some of the top priority that we've been exercising, of course, results because people want to not have us as a new state, just to let you know.
Yeah, we can connect the dots, Peggy, maybe after the show.
I wanted to try and get where John is talking here very quickly so we can kind of see how this all goes together. And see
time frames that we've got.
I'm sorry, apologize for this, but the thing clicked on just before we got started.
Listen, okay, let's not go there right now. We'll make the corrections.
Yeah, this is the instructive part of what we're doing. We're having a conversation about how this all bears out, and let's see if we got...
I don't have a problem with that. Tonight I'm just rolling it out, so...
Let's see if we can get John here. Come on, John.
...communication of meetings, and yeah. So it'll all be very...
Yeah, we're having a little trouble getting with John. Come on, John.
Any changes, it'll come out. It'll probably come out after this meeting of meetings.
March 19th?
Nope, didn't get John yet. Let's see if we can go all the way back here and get John. Sorry, this is what you do when you...
It happened for a couple days.
Here we go. We're into John now. This is John now, John Wadsworth, who's going to be explaining something about what it was like for him.
This all started, by the way, in a little church in Timișoara, Romania.
This is his story about Romania at the collapse of communism in 19, I think it was 1989-90 when this is all going on, that he's there with Nicolae Ceaușescu and others. So pay attention. It's pretty interesting.
It was an old church, and this is one of the things that I want to point out. The whole democratization began in a church full of old people, not young people. This is interesting, because normally we think the vitality is in the young churches, and it's not always the case. There was a church in Timișoara, and it was mostly elderly people. And they prayed. Their pastor had already been arrested and persecuted by the government. And they knew they were going to arrest him again because he just wouldn't stop preaching the gospel and doing that. And so they said, we're going to have a candlelight vigil. We're going to violate the 10 o'clock curfew. So they had a candlelight vigil. This is about probably 400 or 500 meters from the town square. But nobody violated the law back then. I mean, this place... it was under martial law, right? Nobody would do that. Well, anyway, the citizens of the country that weren't involved in any movement or anything saw the boldness of people like us in this movement here with New California. The people saw that, and all of a sudden, they violated the curfew, too, and they got out, and they stood out there, too. And pretty soon, in the middle of the night, past curfew, they filled the town square. They came out with candles, and they started chanting, "We want bread, we want bread, we want bread." That is sort of the equivalent of, we want to stop the corruption here in California. We don't want to be enslaved by debt. We're tired of the political correctness. We're not going to have you rule over us. We're tired of the one-party state. We've had it. We want our representation. And it took these people to come out, and when they did that, the authorities told the dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu, who happened to be in Libya, well, he sent back word, open fire in the crowds. And they rolled out the tanks and they machine gunned the people in the crowds, men, women, babies, children. And that happened for a couple days. And then, like one day, I think it was the third day or so in there, the army turned the tanks around. And see, this is what didn't happen at Tiananmen Square. They turned the tanks around. So you have a civil government, and all of a sudden some of the civil agencies start getting on our side. And they say, yeah, we're with the people. And we're not shooting the people. We're not doing that. So all of a sudden it became they had a revolution. It lasted only 10 days. Praise God. But the point is, I guess what I'm trying to make is note to regime changes or failed state situations and the birth of new states, no two look exactly alike. I also saw the rebirth of Iraq and a couple other nation states failing states is nothing new. When man tries stuff and violates God's principles, they're going to fail. And we're going to succeed. We just have to stay on the right side of things. So, yeah, a lot of things can happen very, very quickly. So don't be deceived by the media, and don't underestimate the power of the propaganda either. So does that answer the question, Paul, pretty much?
I think so. I think, John, very well done.
And, thank you.
John, can you take a couple questions? I think maybe somebody might want to ask a question or two.
Yeah,
I only want to take about 2 or 3 minutes on this because I know everybody's time is concerned.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Anyway, does anybody have a question for John? You got to speak up.
Can you hear me?
A little bit louder.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Yes.
Okay.
We can hear you now.
I would like to get your name. I've heard this story before. There's a pastor from Romania, and he's told this exact story. He's actually runs he's one of the people on the 24/7 prayer line. His name is Pastor Ion. Do you know him? I would love to.
I don't, but Ion. That's John in the Romanian language.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know him personally. I don't know who you're talking about, but I believe it.
Is it okay if I can get it from Paul or something, your info to put you in touch with him? It's just so
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't.
Well, we're gonna come up to a break right now, but I wanted to share that with you because, this is a real possibility developing in our country and certainly in the state of California where, you know, we might have to turn the weapons against people rather than us, right? But right now they're trying to take your weapons away from you. It's all part of their plan. We'll be back.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. Your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with all present at the Agenda 21 show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're taking a look at the numbers again on the John Hopkins University chart that you see. You see this on the news agencies. So far, total confirmed as of this moment, which is, you know, just before noontime East Coast time, 227,743 confirmed cases. That's confirmed cases. And 9,318 total deaths. 84,532 recovered. So now, if you take a look at some of the numbers, total confirmed 2,227,743 and 84,000. So you're looking at a fairly good percentage of recovered. And still those that minus the 9,000. So if you go up to 100, let's say 100,000 recovered and dead, all right, you still have about another 127 that are out there in at least sick. So what's that number going to look like in the next 3 or 4 days? And, of course, that's kind of an interesting thing here that we're looking at. They've got a number of different charts. You can go logarithmic chart, daily cases, and actual. And we're seeing a spike right now, which I think everybody's been predicting this spike coming along. And I say this because, you know, some of these things, as diseases go through the world, and, of course, depending upon the weather, depending upon a lot of things, as diseases go through in some places of the world, the disease will be much more virulent and noticeable. In other places, they'll be less, you know, because of temperature variations in the time of the year. Obviously, the globe is round. The earth is round. I'm sorry, it's not flat. For all you flat earthers, I'm a science guy. I've been in airplanes at high altitude. I can see the curvature. And I don't see any big glass bubble up there. I really don't, as we drift around in space. One thing flat earthers and round earthers have in common is they realize the whatever earth we're standing on floats around in something. And there's a sun, and there's a moon. Anyway, and we can see the curvatures of both, actually. So I don't know. I know it's a flat disk, right? But it's flat Earth. Okay, there you go. All right, well, you get my drift anyway. So we're taking a look at the chart here, and I want to just basically say that the daily March totals for new confirmed have basically hit in the first part of March. Here we're right in the middle of March and are getting towards the end of it. So I think that some of these earlier cases are going to start drifting off and being recovered. I think that's really what we're going to start seeing on this chart. But I think we're seeing a natural pattern for a virus. I hate to bring on the histrionics here, but I'm just not feeling the love from these statistics about the hype and hysteria that we have going on here. I like the idea we're taking all these precautions and, you know, finally we're getting together, and I think that the president is doing exactly the right thing. The president early on did the right thing, and I think the biggest part of what he did, which is saving so many lives right now here in this country, is, of course, I said this before, I said it with Leonora, he shut down air traffic between China and the United States, and everybody was just furious at him on the left. Well, you can't do that. Well, he did exactly the right thing that he should do. He did it. So there you have it. And he's doing it now. I was trying to do in this whole spiel, and I'm going to go back to Fox. I'm going to see if he's out there on, I call it the new campaign trail. You can't have a rally. You can't have all those people in one place, right? You can't have a rally. So what do you do if you're the president of the United States? Well, you know, you have your own rally. And there he is. He's live right now on TV. Here we go. I'm gonna chime in here.
We want to make sure that everybody is able to continue on so that when we recover, all of these companies and these great businesses, both very, very small and very, very large, they're not going to be broken up. And you'd have to put them back together. That would take a long time because we really believe in, I believe in the V curve. I believe it's going to go, when this is defeated, this hidden scourge is defeated, I think we're going to go up very rapidly, our economy, and get back to where it was and beyond. Today I want to share with you exciting progress that the FDA is making with the private sector as we slash red tape like nobody has ever done it before. Somebody was on yesterday on one of the networks and said that there's never been a president even close that's been able to do what I've done in slashing all of the red tape and everything to get very important things to the market, medical. So we slash red tape to develop vaccines and therapies as fast as it can possibly be done. long before anybody else was even thinking about doing this. And as you know, earlier this week, we began the first clinical trial of a vaccine candidate for the virus, and that was launched in record time. It was just a few weeks, and that would have taken years to do not so long ago. As we race to develop a vaccine, we're also pursuing antiviral therapies, and that's what really we're going to be talking to you about today. That's the purpose of being up here today. And to me, that's even more important. The vaccine, by its nature, you have to have long tests because you have to make sure what goes into somebody's body is not going to do destruction, do bad things. So you need long tests. And they're doing great with the vaccines, but it's still a long process. But the therapies are something we can move on much faster, potentially. And the treatments that will be able to reduce the severity or duration of the symptoms, make people better. Essentially, we're looking at things to make people better, or at the very earliest stages, they wouldn't even know they had it. And that's where I believe it's going to work even the best. The FDA commissioner, Stephen Hahn, who's with us, he's fantastic. And he is been working 24 hours a day. He's been he's worked like probably as hard or harder than anybody in this in the group, other than maybe Mike Pence or me. And what the FDA is doing is incredible. They've done things in times that were not even thinkable. And I've directed the FDA to eliminate outdated rules and bureaucracy so this work can proceed rapidly, quickly, and I mean fast. And we have to remove every barrier. There were a lot of barriers that were unnecessary, and they've done that to get the rapid deployment of safe, effective treatments. And we think we have some good answers. We'll find out very, very soon. Clinical trials are already underway for many new therapies, and we're working on scaling these to allow many more Americans to access different drugs that have shown really good promise. We've had some really good promise. We will do so in a way that lets us continue to collect good data to know which medicines are safe and which medicines are working the best. We have a couple that we're in really good shape on, and that's for immediate delivery. Immediate, like as fast as we can get it. The FDA has also approved compassionate use for a significant number of patients. You know what that means? We're also reviewing drugs that are approved abroad or drugs approved here for other uses. And, you know, one of the things that I'm most proud of that I got was right to try. That's where somebody who's ill, somebody who's very sick, terminally ill usually, in past administrations, we signed this a year and a half ago. You wouldn't be able to even think about getting any of the drugs that may be showing great promise now. And they've been trying for many decades to get this approved. And it sounds simple, but it's not, because there's liability involved and lots of other things. And I was able to get it approved working with Congress, right to try. This is beyond right to try. What we're talking about today is beyond right to try. Right to try has been, by the way, a tremendous success. People are living now that had no chance of living, where we take treatments that would, things that, that would have to go through years of a process. And if somebody was terminally ill, and I would say, why wouldn't they be able to try this? They'd go to Asia, they'd go to Europe, they'd go all over the world to try and find something. Or some people, if they had no money, would go home to die. They'd go home to die. They had no hope. Right to try has been an incredible success. But this is beyond right to try. If treatments known to be safe in Europe, Japan, or other nations are effective against the virus, we'll use that information to protect the health and safety of American people. Nothing will stand in our way as we pursue any avenue to find what best works against this horrible virus. Now, a drug called chloroquine, and some people would add to it hydroxychloroquine. So chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. Now, this is a common malaria drug. It's also a drug used for strong arthritis. Somebody has pretty serious arthritis. Also uses this in a somewhat different form. But it is known as a malaria drug, and it's been around for a long time, and it's very powerful. But the nice part is it's been around for a long time. So we know that if things don't go as planned, it's not going to kill anybody. When you go with a brand new drug, you don't know that that's going to happen. You have to see and you have to go long test. But this has been used in different forms, very powerful drug in different forms. And it's shown very encouraging, very, very encouraging early results. And we're going to be able to make that drug available almost immediately. And that's where the FDA has been so great. They've gone through the approval process. It's been approved. And they did it. They took it down from many, many months to immediate. So we're going to be able to make that drug available by prescription or states. I spoke with Governor Cuomo about it at great length last night. And he wants to be right on the he wants to be first on the line, and so I think that's a tremendous promise based on the results and other tests. There's tremendous promise, and normally the FDA would take a long time to approve something like that, and it's it was approved very, very quickly, and it's now approved by prescription. Individual states will handle it. They can handle it. Doctors will handle it. And I think it's going to be I think it's going to be great. Then we're quickly studying this drug. And while we're continuing to study it, but the studying is going to be also done in as it's given out to large groups of people, perhaps in New York and other places. We'll study it there. There are promising therapies produced by Gilead. And that's Remdesivir. And that's a drug used for other purposes that's been out and said very good results for other purposes. But it seems to have a very good result having to do with this virus. And that drug also has been approved or very close to approved in that case by the FDA. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate what the FDA, these people are incredible patriots. And the job that Stephen Hahn is doing, Dr. Hahn, who's one of the most respected doctors in the country, by the way, where we took him, I said, you sure you want to do this? Now, we didn't know that this was going to be in the playlist what happened here, but he really has stepped up to the plate. Wherever you are, where is he? You really have. I shake his hand, but I'm not supposed to do that. Get in a lot of trouble if I did that. But he's been fantastic, and I thank you, Doctor. He's going to speak right after I'm finished. So Regeneron, again, is a company that's done fantastically well, as I understand, with Ebola and some other things. Great company. And they're looking at some very promising events also. So you have Remdesivir, and you have chloroquine, and hydroxychloroquine. So those are two that are out now, essentially approved for prescribed use. And I think it's going to be very exciting. I think it could be a game changer, and maybe not. And maybe not. But I think it could be, based on what I see, it could be a game changer. Very powerful. They're very powerful. So I want every American to know that we're doing everything we can. And these actions are important next steps. I mean, for the FDA to act the way they acted with this kind of speed is an incredible thing. Normally they'd say, well, we can have it by next year, or we can have it by in 2 years from now. You understand, this is the way. Normally it's like years and years and years. They had it immediately, based on the fact that it's been used for other things, totally unrelated things. We believe these therapeutics and others under evaluation right now will be able to provide relief to many Americans. We really hope that's going to be. This could be a tremendous breakthrough, tremendous breakthrough. And we will work toward a much needed vaccine in the future, as I said. And what we're doing with the FDA is so exciting in so many other fields. So many things are happening. It's a very exciting time for medicine. And we appreciate that the American public has pulled together. They're really staying home. And I think there's tremendous spirit in this country right now. It's spirit like a lot of people have not seen. People have not seen anything like it for a long time. And that means Democrat, Republican, they're pulling together. I hope everything's going good on the Hill. Maybe I shouldn't say this until I check out what's going on, because you never know. But I think there's a great spirit where the Democrats, the Republicans, and everybody else, they're getting together and they're trying to get things done. But most importantly, the American public has been incredible. We took the best economy we've ever had, and we said, stop. You can't work. You have to stay home. You know, there's never been a case like this. Normally, you pay a lot of money to get things going. Here's a case where we're paying a lot of money to stop things because we don't want people to be together so that this virus doesn't continue onward. So there's never been anything like this in history. There's never been. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. But we're doing the right thing. We have to get rid of, you know, our big war is not a, it's not a financial war. It's a war, and it's a medical war. We have to win this war. It's very important. With that, I'd like to just introduce Dr. Stephen Hahn. And again, I'd like to send back with Stephen our thanks to all of the people working in the FDA who are fantastic, talented people. We appreciate it very much, everything you've done, especially the speed that you got these two elements, these two very important drugs passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank you for your leadership during this coronavirus outbreak, and thank you for the kind words about the FDA staff. We have 10,000 scientists, doctors, and others, and more than that, working around the clock to aid the American people in this fight against the coronavirus. And those words are very much appreciated, sir.
Thank you.
So before the president nominated me and I was confirmed as Commissioner of Food and Drugs, I was a cancer doctor. And I've sat across from countless number of patients and had to talk to them about their diagnosis and their treatment. And one thing that was really important is to provide hope. I have great hope for how we're going to come out of this situation. What's also important is not to provide false hope, but to provide hope. And as a doctor, that's the way I come to this. I'm speaking now to the American people as Commissioner of Food and Drugs, but that part of me has not left. Just look at the way the American people have responded to our calls for mitigation, for social distancing. The American people have great resiliency, and I am so incredibly proud of how the American people have responded. As the President mentioned, he asked us to be aggressive, to break down barriers to innovation, and to accelerate the development of life-saving treatments. And we're doing that at the FDA. The FDA is committed to continuing to provide regulatory flexibility and guidance. But let me make one thing clear. FDA's responsibility to the American people is to ensure that products are safe and effective. And yet we are continuing to do that. Our folks and their tremendous professionals are working day and night to do this. You just can't even imagine how much they're working to provide this support for the American people, and I thank them. Since early January, long before the first domestic case, FDA began working in collaboration with CDC. I also want to note that we stood up an incident command group and have been focused on the coronavirus since the very beginning of this public health emergency. This is, in addition, an all-of-government and all-America approach, and I'll describe what I mean by that in terms of the development of therapeutics. An important part of that work is expanding the potential therapeutic options associated with coronavirus, and we've learned from our colleagues across the globe about this. But I want to focus on one thing. I was a cancer researcher before all this, and one thing I know about this great country of ours is that we have unbelievable innovators. We have people who every day it's their job to develop treatments for all sorts of diseases. We are incredibly blessed as a country to have this. And as is true in any illness, these great American innovators, academia, private sector, they have engaged us about the best possible treatment options. We are looking at everything that's coming across our desks as possible treatment options for coronavirus. And we're extremely encouraged by the interest and the promise that we've seen from these great American innovators. Now, again, we need to look at it. We need the data. We need the information to make the absolute best decisions for American people. But I want to assure you, we have over 17,000 people at FDA who are doing this every day. We need to make sure that the sea of new treatments will get the right drug to the right patient at the right dosage at the right time. As an example, we may have the right drug, but it may not be in the appropriate dosage form right now, and that may do more harm than good. Those are the things that's our job to look at, and that's why it's really important we have these dedicated professionals looking at these aspects of therapeutic development. At the same time, we're also working through different mechanisms to actually get drugs into the hands of providers and patients. The president mentioned this, but one of the mechanisms is called compassionate use. Let me just tell you about this. If there's an experimental drug that's potentially available, a doctor could ask for that drug to be used in a patient. We have criteria for that and very speedy approval for that. The important thing about compassionate use, and that's what the president meant, this is even beyond right to try, is that we get to collect the information about that. Because one of the things that are promised the American people is we will collect the data and then make the absolute right decisions based upon those data about the safety and efficacy of the treatments. We are working expeditiously, and we are working to make sure that these products are as safe and effective as they possibly can be. Let me tell you about a few things that we're currently working on. And this is a plan that was developed with many of the people at this table, our infectious disease experts on the task force. In the short term, we're looking at drugs that are already approved for other indications. So they're already approved, as the president said, for other diseases. As an example, many Americans have read studies and heard media reports about this drug chloroquine, which is an anti-malarial drug. It's already approved, as the president said, for the treatment of malaria as well as an arthritis condition. That's a drug that the president has directed us to take a closer look at as to whether an expanded use approach to that could be done to actually see if that benefits patients. And again, we want to do that in the setting of a clinical trial, a large, pragmatic clinical trial, to actually gather that information and answer the question that needs to be answered and asked and answered. Let me give you another example. There's a cross-agency effort about something called convalescent plasma. This is a pretty exciting area. And again, this is something that we have given assistance to other countries with as this crisis has developed. So FDA has been working for some time.
Well, we're going to leave the medical update right now, and the FDA Commissioner Hahn, who has been talking for the last 5 minutes or so. Donald Trump was talking before that. And, of course, the president gets all the attention in the world anytime he wants it now with this. So forget about the rallies for a while, right? I mean, what's better than 3 or 4 hours on the TV every single day talking about how he's going to fix you and prevent you from getting diseases? It works out real well. I wanted to also run a little story by you here, though, that is kind of interesting and a little stimulating. Final recall drive against Governor Gavin Newsom quietly dies, $1.2 million signatures short, from the Times of San Diego. You know, I get these reports out of San Diego. It's kind of interesting. Governor Gavin Newsom is in the clear. He won't face a recall election this year. Last week, the California Secretary of State's office informed Erin Cruz of Palm Springs that her petition effort to oust Democratic governor had failed. Now, of course, I said it was destined to failure, and here it is. It failed. All this was done to do was to keep conservatives busy in California. It was a ploy, if you will. I know some people don't like that idea, but I'm just telling you, it was a ploy by the Republican Party to keep the conservatives busy. That's really what happened. Anyway, We got to run for time right now, and I want to thank everybody for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. A lot of things going on in New California, and, yeah, we're going to be rolling a bunch of new stuff out for you, so it's just stay tuned for more. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.